Hey, Songtown. We are here in the Songtown studio with Clay Mills.
That's it.
I've got a topic to throw at Clay today. I'm going to hit him with this. And it's one that's near and dear to my heart because I've always been a word person. So my topic for the day is, how do you take lyrics from good to great?
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. How would you respond to that?
My response. Marty, let's start at the beginning.
The very top.
You know how when we send songs, we pitch songs to artists or producers, if you're an aspiring writer, maybe you're trying to land a publishing deal, and you send them a playlist of songs. I mean, the very first thing that happens is they're looking down a list of your songs. What are they going to listen to first? They're going to listen to a song that has a great title.
Yeah.
They're going to listen to a song that has an idea they've never heard before. And so many people write titles and they think it's original, and you go on Google and you find that, well, there's been three hits with that title before. There's 49 songs in the ASCAP database with that title. So it's crucial if you're an aspiring writer, especially, but even if you're not an aspiring writer, I had Brian Davis in an interview a couple months ago for Songtown, and he writes a lot with Lee Bryce. They've had hits together. You would think he could bring Lee anything and Lee would sing it, but that's not true. He's like, you know, I have to bring him a great idea. I have to bring him a killer idea because he will only cut the best songs. And if I don't bring him the best idea, the most unique title or the most unique way to write that title, someone else is going to bring it to him. Yeah. So it never really ends. You know, you've either got to have a unique title or you've got to have a way of writing that title that is unique and fresh.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think to your point, to take it from good to great, if you look at your title and you go, is there any way I can say this in a more fresh way? You know, maybe I've got a great concept, but is there a fresher, cooler way to say that title? I agree. That would take it from good to great. I think my first point would be more universal appeal. So like, you know, sometimes I'll hear a song and it's about a dad with a daughter and a son, and the mom left them, and the grandpa just died. And like, there's so many specific details
right. That
with every one of those points, they're losing listeners. So like,
right. If
my song doesn't have to be about children, then I don't put children in there. If the people involved don't have to be married, I don't make them married so that
right. Anybody
in love can relate to what I'm talking about. So I think, you know, just everything you can do to make your song more universal, make your lyrics more inclusive of more people is going to help you, you know. So I, again, always check and see if I've got characters I don't need, if I'm limiting myself in certain ways. I heard a song a while back about barbecue. And, it was just like real
not
specific
barbecue.
About being on the, you know, like rubs and all these different terms they use in barbecue competitions. And it was cool. And maybe it's got a place in that world somewhere, but that's a very small niche kind of thing.
So it wasn't just a song about having a backyard barbecue with your friends. And this was so specific to barbecue and everything it takes to be a barbecuer.
Exactly. A barbecue competitor. So yeah, it was about competing on the barbecue
circuit.
Right.
So there's not a lot of barbecue competitors out there.
And I'm a pescatarian, so I don't even eat barbecue. But that's just a good example of sometimes you can limit yourself by making something so specific. You know, so I try to make my songs and my lyrics as universal as possible, as many people as possible can relate. And all that kind of stuff.
Well, I can hear it now in the comments section below. Somebody's going to go, yeah, that's what's wrong with music. It's all generic. We're not talking about writing generically, right?
Right. Yeah. I mean, back to the love song example, it's like, it's not generic to write a really heartfelt love song to someone and not specify the relationship.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have to go, you've been my wife for 16 and a half years. And all these things that...
And like, we have three children named John, Sue, and Polly.
Right, yeah. Polly.
What's wrong with Polly?
And that we live in Pennsylvania. And it's like, you know, It's just being conscious.
We drive a red Corvette, a little red Corvette.
With all those people in it.
And we listen to Prince songs.
That's right. Yes, but so it's not being generic. It's just being inclusive of the most people possible. And, you know, if it's a song about having a daughter, for instance, I don't shy away about it. That's just what the song's about, you know, and it's and my daughter's got to be in there. But I'm not going to maybe put in how old she is and all these other defining factors that would exclude other people with daughters from relating to it.
Only if it's important to the story of the song, the age.
And I'm talking about, too, if I'm trying to write a commercial song, if I'm writing it for my daughter, obviously I'll just write whatever I want to write. But if we're trying to be commercial, which a lot of our audience is, you know, I think you can take your specific story and write it in a way that's much more universal and it has a lot more appeal.
Yeah. David Bowie said that the thing that made John Lennon incredible was he could take the most abstract idea and make it universal. And so that's a real skill. The next thing I think of is clarity.
And absolutely.
And I don't mean dumbing down your lyrics or you can't put any poetic things in your lyric, because that all has a place. But I think over the last 10 years especially, there is so much stuff thrown at people on social media, on, you know, we used to just listen to the radio and we could turn it on. Now there's music everywhere. People consume more music. There's 100,000 songs a day on Spotify, uploaded to Spotify. 100,000 a day, songwriters and singers uploading their songs to Spotify. So there's so much noise that I think you have to be clear with your message today. It's more important. I mean, people will say in the comments below, they'll probably comment that, well, what about this song? You know, I Dance the Light Fandango. And, you know, what does all that song mean? The Lighter Shade of Pale? Or they'll bring up older songs, Coldplay Singing Yellow. What does that mean? And I think there was a time where a lot of rock records were like abstract art, you know?
Yeah.
And, but I don't think that time is now. And I think that, I'm not saying you can't go ahead and write that. I mean, maybe in 5 years people will be back into that. But I'm just speaking for right now. I think there's so much noise that if your songs aren't clear and your emotion that you're trying to hit is not really on the target, I don't think people are going to get your songs.
And I think, too, most of the time when people give me examples like that, it's songs that the artist wrote. Mm-hmm. So if Coldplay wants to write Yellow and it doesn't make any sense and they have a huge fan base, they're going to love it.
But they don't even write that anymore.
And it sounds great. Yeah. Right. But if you or I wrote something that didn't make sense and pitched it to Coldplay, they're going to go, we can write that, you know? I mean, we don't have to have you to write something that doesn't make sense, you know? So I think there's a higher standard in a way for us that are, if we're pitching songs to artists. In my master class, I actually have one week of the class, I think it's week 4 out of 6 weeks, I have them write a song lyric that is so simple that I'm going to tell them it's boring. That's their assignment. It's like, I want you to write it so simply that you think I'm going to say, this is horrible. And invariably, that's everyone's best work.
Yeah.
Because the first 3 weeks, they're trying to impress everybody in the class. They're trying to impress me. They're trying to be clever. They're doing all these tricks. Mm-hmm. But they're not saying what they need to say. And so when they stop for a second and they just go, okay, what do I want to say in this song? And they just say it, it comes across really powerful.
Yeah.
And I had one student who was like, I almost didn't turn my assignment in this week. It's horrible. And when he read his lyric to the class, everybody like gave him an ovation. And they were like, that's the best thing we've ever heard you write. You know, so I think clarity is often, we miss that because we're trying to be clever. We're trying to do something tricky or have a more interesting rhyme and we'd lose track of what we're trying to say, really. Awesome. I wrote with a band one time and everything, they would say these weirdest thing that like, you're my blue sky baby. And I would say, what does it mean? And they go, you make every day brighter. I go, say that, you know, say the thing that you're trying to say. And then if you need to throw in some some lines that are cool, do that. But, you know, I think clarity is huge.
Yeah.
The thing that I would add to that for my second point is emotion. Like if you can dial up the emotion in your song, whatever it is, you know, if one great example, I was recently mentoring someone and they had a song about someone being on the road and they're headed home.
Mm-hmm.
And they set up this great anticipation, like the singer can't wait to be home and hold the woman that he loves and all this stuff. And I go, okay, I'm feeling it. You know, I'm feeling this emotion. And in the chorus, they get the singer opening the door and seeing the person, and all the anticipation went away because
right.
Now we're not, we don't have that same intensity of emotion. And so we worked on like, well, let's get them. They were 200 miles from home. Now they're 100 miles from home. Now they're 50 miles from home. Right. And we build that anticipation as opposed to letting it be released. Yeah, you know, Smokey Robinson one time said the best songwriting advice he ever got was a song is about one thing.
Yeah.
And so my suggestion to that writer was this song is about anticipation.
The journey.
Write another song about what it's like finally being there.
Right.
You know, that's a whole nother song about now that you're finally in my arms is a whole different emotion and a whole different feel. And so I think, and you and I are teaching a class right now on building emotion in your songs with your lyrics and your melody. But if you can look through your lines of your song and go, which of these lines are supporting the big emotion of my song, you know, and which right. of these lines are just kind of there as filler. And if you can replace some of the filler lines with lines that build that emotion, then your songs are going to be stronger.
Yeah. Awesome.
All right. So there you go. Four ideas on how to take song lyrics from good to great. Check out our sponsor, Sweetwater. Clay, if you can't see back there, but Clay has all kinds of gear from Sweetwater. I do too. They're great people, great customer service, and they have anything musically you could ever dream of, I believe. So check that out. There's a link in the show notes and a link to our books and a link to Songtown. We'd love you to check out our community, and we will see you next time.
Cheers.